नारायणानमस्कृत्या देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततोजयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अबाधेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Text 49. Iti putra krita gina sonu tapto mahamuni svayam vripa krito ragya nevagam tad achintayat iti putre Iti putra krita gina so nutapto mahamuni svayam vipakrito ragya naivagam tad achintayat iti putra krita gina so nutapto mahamuni svayam vipakrito ragya Devagam tarachintayat. Hare Krishna. Please sing, chant if you wish to. Word for word now. Iti thus, putra son, kreta done by, adhena by the sin, sa he the muni, anutapta regretting, Mahamuni, the sage, Swayam, personally, Vipakrita, being so insulted, Ragya, by the king, Na, not, Eva, certainly, Agham, the sin, Tat, that, Achintayat, thought of it. Translation by Zubayan Krishna, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The whole incident is now cleared up. Maharaj Parikshit's garlanding the sage with a dead snake was not at all a very serious offense. But Sringi's cursing the king was a serious offense. The serious offense was committed by a foolish child only. Therefore, he deserves to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord, although it was not possible to get free from the sinful reaction. Maharaj Parikshit also did not mind the curse offered to him by a foolish Brahmana. On the contrary, he took full advantage of the awkward situation. And by the great will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit achieved the highest perfection of life through the grace of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Actually, it was the desire of the Lord, and Maharaj Parikshit, Rishi Shamukha, and his son Sringi were all instrumental in fulfilling the desire of the Lord, so none of them were put into difficulty because everything was done in relation with the Supreme Person. Om Agnati Virandasya Gyana Gnashalakaya Chakshu Umilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swan Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tantra Jivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sucham He Krishna Akrana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamani Hali Priya Vanchakalpatrubhishtha kripasindhibhivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sivaita Gadarha Sivashali Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pyasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvesheshya Sunyavadi Paschanti Adeshitarine. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gauti Shedama. Anandali Namaya Vigrahaya Himavidi Vachavachindaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya. Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. The English translation of a text again. The sage thus regretted the sin committed by his own son. He did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. So, there's quite a few lessons by the sage's behavior, Rishi Shamaka, that are very instrumental for us to learn in our devotee life. Many reversals take place in our lives. Reversals, memories, unfortunate situations, things that we didn't think was coming but came anyway. And whether we were prepared for it or not, it came anyway. So, this was a situation that, of course, in the beginning, Shyamakirishi was doing his own meditation. He had no idea the king would come. The king came, asked for water, was very thirsty. Shyamaka continued his meditation. The king got upset about it, went out and put a dead snake, lifted it with his bow, put it around the Shyamakirishi's neck. Shyamakirishi's son, Sringi, could perceive what was going on from where he was at. He got upset and he decides to overreact, or he's going to punish the Kshatriyas because he's thinking, well, the Brahmanas are above them, the Kshatriyas. And the Kshatriyas are just guards. And he, in fact, described Maharaj speaks to the pure devotee that way. So the words were quite insulting, offensive. He curses Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days. But it's the Lord's plan, because Shukadeva Goswami then met Maharaj Parikshit on the banks of the Ganga, and so many sages and rishis and demigods from other planets came to hear what was going to happen, what was going to be said, and see what was going to happen in the last days of Maharaj Parikshit. So in the end, the Lord's plan kicked into place. So sometimes the Lord's plan may involve material disappointment or material reversals, but it's only that at the material level. His plan always becomes spiritually helpful because he operates on the spiritual platform only. We may sometimes perceive what happens from a material standpoint, but Krishna does not act on a material level. That's his separated energy, although it belongs to him. It's his separated energy, and he acts by his internal energy, and he takes his pure devotees through pastimes that he plans through his internal energy, and also from the help, sometimes when he requests Yogamaya to be a part of it. Or sometimes even messages are given by Narada Muni to be part of the pastimes, to unfold that, unfold according to the will of the Lord. So yes, sometimes it seems like material reversals may happen in the Lord's plan, but we see it as materially, he doesn't see it that way. When soldiers were being killed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, millions of them were dying. To Krishna, millions of them were being given a better life. Because if those soldiers did not die at the Battle of Kurukshetra, they probably would have died in some other battle. And if they didn't fight any battle at all, they will also die based on the body breaking down due to old age. So death was coming anyway. The important thing is what happens to the soul. And the soul, this time, Krishna arranged for them to go to either the heavenly planets or to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world. Those who are thinking of Krishna, they go to Krishna. So those soldiers who were thinking of the Lord got a chance to go. Those who saw the Lord and saw the beauty of the Lord, whatever they had in their minds that was connecting positively to Krishna, that was enough for them to go to the Vaikuntha planets. So much mercy that the Lord showed for hundreds of millions of soldiers, 640 million soldiers to be exact, to get a better life, all of them elevated. So Krishna acts on a spiritual platform only, and it's backed up by his statement in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text 9. Janma karma tame divyam evam yoviti tatvata chatvadeham punajanmani naiti mamiti so Arjuna. The first line, janma karma tame divyam. Janma, my appearance, karma, my activities, cha, also, me, divyam, transcendental. He says, my birth and my activities, or my appearance and my activities, are all transcendental. And the person who understands it that way, they don't take anybody here, any physical body here in the spiritual world after this one. But they come to join him. So the direct translation is very, very, very nice. And Krishna says, so in English is, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. So he's telling Arjuna this. So he's telling Arjuna that if we understand all of Krishna's appearances and his activities upon appearance and even his leaving, all to be at the transcendental or spiritual level, the one who understands it that way connects with Krishna at the spiritual level and therefore goes back home after this last body, never to return to this material world. So, there were so many reversals from a material standpoint in the situations where Krishna was planning things, but we have to look at it with the question, what is the spiritual significance of this? For example, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was in an imminent situation where he was going to kill those who taught him and loved him and who he looked up to. They were all present on the other side as opponents. And so in his bewilderment, again looking at it from a material standpoint, he even said things in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita that made material sense. You kill all of these soldiers, what happens? They have wives, and the wives will not have husbands anymore. They might want to get protected by other men, and through that, they may get pregnant without the proper culture or etiquette, and then so illegitimate children then will be born. Bhana Shankara, Gita 1, chapter 1, text 40. Adharma vivabhat Krishna. So when adharma, which is irreligion, becomes more prominent, women becomes polluted. So he says, Jayate Bhana Shankara. What's going to happen is that we have all of these children that are illegitimate. And now in this world we have plenty of them. Because some of people, even in married couples, they don't plan. They're just playing around sexually and then the wife gets pregnant. I have friends who said that. They open up to me. And he said, well, actually, we weren't even expecting this one. Well, of course, I didn't say anything to them, but if you're going to still relate sexually, then of course the wife can get pregnant at any time. So this wasn't a planned situation. People make statements like that. But this is because they don't understand what is actual spiritual life and sense gratification. They are involving themselves in sense gratification. But Krishna put Arjuna in a situation. Arjuna is a pure devotee and has been with him in so many situations. As he was saying, Krishna was saying to Arjuna, I remember them, but you don't. But this particular situation, Arjuna was put in an emotional situation where he was going to have to explain things about how he was feeling to Krishna, so Krishna can use that to speak Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of everybody. So here was a situation where Arjuna was perplexed. But in that perplexed state, he brought up what he was thinking of, and then he admitted that he was confused, and then he said, please be my spiritual master, I'm just going to keep quiet and hear you. So the importance of getting instruction from spiritual master, even from Arjuna's statement, was also brought up. Very important that we hear from a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Guru. So Arjuna heard from Krishna at the spiritual level. Krishna explained many situations in chapter 2, which is called Contents of the Gita, summarized in text 22, 23, 24, 25. That area was put Krishna's statement where he explains that we are not these bodies, we are the soul. And Srila Prabhupada repeats that several times in his lectures and his writings. And that soul cannot be killed. You are thinking of killing, but that is not a good situation for you to go to be part of this war. But you're not going to kill anybody's soul. These people that you see, they were there before, they are there now, they will be there in the future. At the very worst situation, they will take another body and be in another planet. Or the same planet. But as far as just vanishing from existence, that's not going to happen. So that's explained in chapter 2. And the different types of yoga is explained. And then in the end, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. The highest religion is surrendering to the highest of all personalities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it was in this situation of Arjuna's perplexed state that Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Krishna also, in the same Kurukshetra war, made a statement by putting Bhishma in the situation that he was in. Krishna used Bhishma to tell the world that it doesn't matter how religious you are, how righteous you are. It doesn't matter how righteous you are. If you support the unrighteous side, the demonic side, you will be defeated. No matter how powerful and experienced that you are. This also was made clear. Rana Maharaj's lecture, one that I was listening to, he made it clear that Krishna was the one that arranged for Bhishma to be put in that particular situation. To be on the wrong side, knowing that it's the wrong side, but he has sworn a vow, he's taken an oath to protect the throne of Hastinapur, no matter who was sitting on it. And he did not want to retract his vow. So then he got caught up in the situation of knowing that Dhritarashtra was in the wrong, and he tried to advise and Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen, and now he wound up following his vow and then fighting on Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana's side, even though they were demonic. They were in the wrong. And Bhishma is one of the Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans. But he had to fight in that situation. So Krishna used it to tell the world, Bhishma Bhishma's situation, what he had to go through in the Mahabharata after the end of his life, that no matter how righteous you are, don't support the wrong side, the unrighteous side, the religious side. Then Krishna is duty bound to defeat you. So that's also a lesson for us to learn. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tempted you are to go the easy way, go the righteous way. Deal straightforward. Sri Prabhupada says, Sato Vite. Deal straightforward. It's always better to tell the truth. There is only two choices about the truth. You tell the truth and tell it palatably, or if it's going to be dangerous, you withhold the truth, but you don't tell a lie. You withhold the truth for the right time to tell the truth. So sometimes things are held because of a confidential situation, but it is the truth. And sometimes when when you're in that kind of situation, you can weigh it carefully and know when to come out. But don't come out with something that's not true, because then your reputation gets affected if it gets found out. If I did that I lied, then my reputation is, in question. So the next time I'm telling the truth, who's going to believe it? Because they've heard a lie before. So that's the situation that we put ourselves in, if we're not careful. So pure devotees generally do not see reversals as excuses to stop serving Krishna or be part of Krishna's plan. Pure devotees don't see disappointments as that. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is all over the place how the devotees of Sri Chaitanya acted in different situations. So they don't see reversals or seeming trouble or disappointment as excuses to be part of Krishna's plan. That's why Krishna uses them. So the lessons we learn are, first, if we're prepared to surrender fully to the Lord, then the reversals in our lives may become valuable lessons for us sooner or later. If we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like he says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 66, just come to me and surrender to me, which means obey the things that I tell you when the Shastra and the spiritual master tells you. Like that, and the guidance that you get. This is all part of surrendering fully to the Lord. Obeying the spiritual master's instruction is also surrender to the Lord, because the spiritual master is a representative of the Lord. So if we are fully surrendered, then even the reversals that come will be valuable lessons for us. The second lesson is, if we look at pure devotees, they go along with Krishna's program, even if it has some trials or reversals and some disappointment. They go along with it. And the end, you will see, is always victorious. The pure devotees teach us by their lives. They go along with whatever Krishna wants. Even if there's some trials, some disappointment, they still do it anyway. But the end will be victorious. This is the life story of the Pandavas. They were brought from the forest. They were born there through the demigods. Father was already dead. Pandu, Maharaj Pandu. They were brought to Hastinapur, and trouble started immediately, because the sons of Dhritarashtra were already envious of the Pandavas. When they were young, there were plans to get rid of them. Shakuni, who was the brother of the queen, Gandhari, was already plotting. They even killed Bhima when he was little. And the Nagas brought him back to life. Bhima was fond of eating. They poisoned the porridge and gave it to him. He ate and he died. And he was brought back to life. And his mother heard what happened, and his mother told him not to just not make a big deal of it. And a second attempt was made to poison. But because the Nagas had actually fortified his body against poison, the second time he ate with the poison in it, but he didn't die. If anything, he became stronger. And that's how they stopped Duryodhana and Shakuni, and they started other plans. But in the end, in the very end, the Kurukshetra war, all of these people, they died. And it was according to Krishna's plans. And he even told his pure devotees, the Pandavas, that apart from them, soldiers on both sides were going to leave their lives. So it means that no matter what we face, we should be prepared to give our full trust to Krishna. Then we pray to go along with his program in whatever way that he has planned it. No matter what we face, we should be prepared to trust Krishna fully. So what should mortify a devotee is that they don't trust Krishna. What should mortify the body is that they're supposed to chant and they don't. That's what we should be afraid of. We should always be connected with the process, the devotional process. Then we pray and go along with the Lord's program. Pray that please use me today in any way that you want. Then we give our free will then back to Krishna, and then in whatever way that he's planned in our lives, he will actually do it. So even while we're in the material world, we'll still be connected with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, great example. He kept adjusting and facing whatever trials in India, then the United States, then the rejections of by the intelligentsia, and his final chanting at Tompkins Square Park, and whoever came, whatever their background was, he accepted. And all these trials happened, but he believed in his spiritual master's instruction, spread Krishna consciousness around the world, in especially in the West, in the English language. He did that. He went through all kinds of trials until the situation, and even his health was bad, until Krishna consciousness became a reality around the world. So there were plenty of reversals, but Srila Prabhupada stuck to Krishna. So Shyamaka Rishi also teaches us, he never took Maharaj Parikshit's offense to him seriously. And that is connected with part of the Shashastaka the Lord Chaitanya has left us. Trinada Pisune Chena Tarodi Vasa Hishtuna Amanina Manadena Ketaniya Sadahari Amanina Manadena. Give respect to others, but don't expect respect from others. Give of yourself, but don't sit wondering when you're going to receive. That is a sign of humility. Give respect, but don't expect respect from others. They respect you, they don't respect you, it doesn't matter. But you give respect though. So in the case of Shyamaka Rishi, he saw the snake. In one sense, Maharaj Parikshit had disrespected him. Did he take it seriously? No. What did he do? He just took the snake. It's a dead snake anyway. Tossed it off. End the case. And he thought that was the end of it. Until his son came and started crying loudly and, his son came and started crying loudly, and that woke, got him up away from his meditation. And when he came to and looked at his son, and then he saw the dead snake. Okay, so I apologize. The order was a little wrong. He saw the dead snake, then he took it out. But that was the end of that. He asked his son what was going on. His son explained the situation. And so then, the Rishi knew that it was Maharaj Parikshit that had put a dead snake around him, but he never took it so seriously, as it says in this chapter, or in this particular text. So, sometimes we get offended, but we shouldn't take the offense seriously. We leave the Krishna to do whatever he wants to do. Krishna does not easily excuse offenses done towards his pure devotees. But we leave it up to him now. We don't take those offenses seriously. We should make sure we don't offend others, because if we offend others, Vaishnava Aparad means that our devotional kripa is going to be badly affected. So that we have to guard against. So Krishna's plans take place according to his will, and the pure devotees go along with it. So basically he is the supreme enjoyer, and everyone else is the object of his enjoyment. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, this is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he wrote 64 principles to guide us in devotee life. The second principle is what we've just paraphrased. But the direct words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the only enjoyer. Everyone and everything else is the object of his enjoyment. Everyone and everything else, they are all objects of his enjoyment. So somebody may think, oh, Krishna is the only one that will enjoy. Well, before I even ask a question about what about me, first we have to realize something. What did you produce? What did I produce in the spiritual world or in the material world? If that all has come from Krishna, who are we to question that he is the only enjoyer? He become the only enjoyer. We didn't put out anything. We're totally dependent in the material world and in the spiritual world on what he has put in place. So that argument alone said, you didn't put it together, you have no right to enjoy it. Krishna is the one that brought it about. Krishna should be the only enjoyer. But because Krishna is sentient, when we serve him, we also enjoy. Again, by his own supreme will, he set it up that way, that our enjoyment comes from service to him. There is enjoyment. If we can give you a mundane example, sometimes, dear, which is, say you are the servant of a very rich person. Let's bring it even to the material world. Got a very nice Rolls Royce, and you are the driver. So in the morning, the man says, take me to a meeting. You said yes, sir. He sits in the back, you get behind the wheel, and you take him to the meeting. He gets there, gets out, you say, yes, sir, you open the door for him to get out. He tells you, come give me at 5 o'clock. Yes, sir. Then he's going to the meeting. You are left with the car. Now remember, it's a Rolls Royce. Now you get to drive it around until 5 o'clock to come get it. Would people, when they see you, think that you're some poor person driving a Rolls Royce? No. They might even be mistakenly thinking that it's yours. But the fact is, you are running around in a very posh car. So serving Krishna, we actually enjoy it nicely, the things that Krishna provides for his service. We may not see that way as much in the material world, but the spiritual world is very, very wonderfully equipped. That is our home. We just happen to be in Krishna's cosmic jail. And so we don't see it, we don't feel it as much. But the service of the Lord is wonderful, and we enjoy. So, enjoy the service. So he set it up that way. Serving Krishna is enjoyable. So we are also enjoying in the service part. So Krishna's plans and pastimes, in which he enjoys whatever mood he takes it to. We have to adjust to make his plan successful. Always. When we say we have to adjust, it means actually that we have to be careful to keep Maya out of it. And Maya comes with temptation. You can do it this way. You can do this other way for yourself. I can do it this way for myself. And in that way, we fall out of Krishna's plans. How do we know we fall out of Krishna's plans? Or we have fallen out of Krishna's plans? When we do not go by the do's and don'ts of spiritual life, according to the dictates of Krishna in the Shastra and the dictates or the instructions of the spiritual master, then we know we've fallen. Maya will always test us. So we always have to adjust our situations to make our plan, make Krishna's plan successful, to make Guru's plan successful. How do you know Guru's plans? Very simple. Ask him. Just ask. What can I do for you? Maharaj, and he has a plan. He'll tell you do such and such and such. Or, you know, do for him. Or he'll tell you do such and such and such for your own spiritual life. Either way, he's giving instructions. Then what do? Follow. That's all. In principle number 10, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, 64 principle. He says, my advice is, do not criticize others. Try to rectify yourself. This is such an important statement made by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Let's take the last sentence. Try to rectify yourself. Every conditioned soul needs rectification. We are called conditioned because we have a lower nature. So rather than look at what other people are doing wrong, we should look at what we are doing wrong or what our lower nature is and take steps to get rid of that. And to get rid of a lower nature means that we're being purified. We're getting closer to being pure devotees. Therefore, closer to getting a chance to go back to Godhead. So Srila, we also call Srila Prabhupada, by the way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada. His advice is, don't criticize others. Criticizing is offensive to others. Just work on, rather than talk about their lower nature, look at your own lower nature. We should look at our own lower nature and try to work to fix that. The last principle we want to talk about is 64 of them, of course. We only took about 3 of them. So principle number 12. A pure devotee knows that everyone is his spiritual master. A pure devotee knows that. Therefore, a pure devotee can be Jagat Guru. A pure devotee knows that everyone is his spiritual master. How? Well, what do? With spiritual masters? If we approach them, we ask questions. Therefore, the question asking is to do what? To learn. To learn. So to learn means we have things that we need done properly for us. We don't understand it that clearly, and we're asking for guidance. So, this principle number 12, the pure devotee is saying really that the pure devotee learns from everyone and everything in every situation. Therefore, a pure devotee can be Jagat Guru because he learns from everybody and therefore he has the answers for everyone. A person who is not humble, they cannot learn from everyone in every situation, therefore they cannot be a proper guru. But the person who has that humility can not only be a guru, he can be a Jagat Guru. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a Brahmana, Avadhuta Brahmana. It's described there. He has so many spiritual masters. As a matter of fact, 24 of them. Why not one but 24? Because he was eager to learn from all of everything and everyone. So he constantly grew from his learning experience. So in 11th canto, 7th chapter, text 32, Davadut Brahmana is speaking to King Yadu. And King Yadu is quite surprised at how happy and carefree this Brahmana is. And he's asking, so how are you not so worried about things that go on in this world? And Avadhut Brahmana is responding, I have learned from 24 gurus. And he lists them. The earth, the air, the sky, the water, the fire, the moon, the sun, the pigeon, the python, the sea, the moth, the honeybee, the elephant, the honey thief, the deer, the fish, the prostitute pingala, the kurara bird, the child, the young girl, the arrow maker, serpent, spider, and wasp. And we went through all of this to tell you that he learned from different bodies. Practically covered everyone. Some of them were human, like the child, the young girl, and also the prostitute and the arrow maker. Some of them were reptiles, like the serpent, the python. Some of them were birds, the kurara birds. Some of them were animals, the deer, the elephant. Some of them were aquatics, the fish. And then you learn from bodies of creation, the air, the sky, the water, the fire. Practically all the five elements he was learning from. Their nature always speaks a statement. But a person who is arrogant and egotistical, they may think that you can only learn from advanced devotee or from superiors. But yeah, you can learn from that, but everything around you also teaches a lesson. Everything around me teaches me a lesson. Everything around us, if we look closely, there are lessons to learn from. You can learn from an ant. So, sometimes people, they just say, you're not my guru. Some of the maya going on in this car now. You're not my guru, so don't try to instruct me. But a person with a mindset for learn, the serious devotee, will learn from all situations. So, a serious devotee is constantly learning. Constantly learning. A person is serious, he wants to take advantage of every single moment to grow and advance more. So not only can we learn from our guru, we can learn even from the insects that the Avadhut Brahmana learned from. And such personalities, they seem most insignificant, but they teach us by the way they act. So devotees should constantly learn. All of us should constantly learn from those we consider senior, some those we consider our peers, those we consider new that have just come in. They all have things to provide. And sometimes we don't necessarily have to even talk to them, as you cannot talk to some of those not in human bodies. But you can watch what they do. And by Krishna's supply of intelligence, we can learn and grow and benefit from it. So in this case, the situation has been put to rest at the very end. Shyamakas realized that Sringi, his son, has done something really, really bad and offensive. And then he actually tries to help his son by appealing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for forgiveness for his son. But we also know now that they were all plans that, even though it seemed, a part of it seemed a reversal towards the end, when Maharaj Parikshit left his kingdom and came to the Ganges to meditate for those 7 days, the Shukadeva Goswami came and the Bhagavad Purana, the cream of the crop of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken. With Maharaj Parikshit getting a chance to hear for 7 straight days, and ask questions to his heart's content, questions that are good for us, questions that Arjuna asked Krishna in the Battle of Kurukshetra, good for us, all of those reversals, but Krishna used it. It was part of his plans, and the pure devotees go along with it. So those are lessons for us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you, devotees, for allowing me to do this service. Please unmute yourself and make comments or ask questions or share your realizations or connections to some of the things we talked about today or whatever else you want to discuss. That's on your mind. Hare Krishna. Jai, accept mine. Gaur Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's mercy. Jai. Others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. So if you see things that are in others that are false, don't stick to that or don't make a big deal of that, but find fault in your own self and try to correct that. Wonderful advice. So in one sense, that was part of the 64 principles. So he says, this is wonderful advice. Same personality. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Do not criticize others. We'll be deluded then. As Gita Mataji is telling us. That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said. Rectify ourselves. Find the faults then, try and fix that. Because we'll become a better devotee. Now, the advantage of trying to fix our own faults and becoming better devotees in the process is when we behave better, others would notice it. Our own children would notice it. And others would notice it and learn from it. And then we all grow like that. So in our own growth, since we are in association with each other, we learn from each other also. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gita Mataji, for bringing it up so we can hear more of the wisdom of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Anyone else that likes to unmute and ask a question? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna there. Zeppelin. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's mercy. Okay. Yeah, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, and if you start from text 30, 31, 32, it goes on there. Yeah, you just go on. This one, where the 24 gurus, and when he listed them, that is text 32. But the whole situation of Davadut Brahman being so happy and carefree, and King Yadu saw him and asked the question, we'll start from text 30. So the whole full story you will hear starting from text 30. 11, 7. Yeah, 11, 7, 30. Yeah. It's a simple reaction. Simple reaction. Yeah. That's common, yeah. Now, anyway, we have to put this statement into two categories. What happens to devotees and what happens to non-devotees? As far as things that are reversals. So, for non-devotees, you correctly explain that is karma. That is simple reaction. Reactions sometimes from lifetimes before. The reaction comes later. It's very, very intricate situation. Sometimes, depending on a person's thought or what they want to be in the next life, and there are some sinful reactions that they have not, sins that they haven't experienced the reactions to, because that particular body, in that particular body, is not possible for those things. That particular soul go through it, then it's put on hold to come later. Yeah, and that's why sometimes a person may be good with, again, we're talking about non-devotees now. A person may be a good person acting in the mode of goodness, but then they are stricken with a very horrible disease. And they look at it and says, but why? Why? God is so kind. This person is so good. Why this has happened? Why has this happened to the person? It may be connected with something in previous lives that that person did that now they're experiencing a reaction to. So that can happen. Now, for non-devotees, when a spiritual master initiates a devotee and takes on all the karma from previous lives, there's a little bit that's left, and the example is given like when a fan is on and plugged in and it's, the blades are turning, and you unplug the fan or switch it off, the blades don't come to rest right away. So the spiritual master takes some, but most of the karma. So then the devotee doesn't go through a simple reaction, but there's a little bit that is left on the devotee to go through. And also in devotee time, I mean, when you're a devotee, this has happened now, you're initiated, you're Bhajan Kriya, you're under the advice and guidance of the spiritual master, and get back, sometimes there are some sinful reactions that are, sinful desires that are not gone yet. Even though the regulative principles are there, we have to follow them, but then there's some still sinful desires, you know, lurking in our consciousness, and that could cause us to fall into that situation, you know, sinful situation temporarily. And so Krishna arranges for some kind of reprisal at a lower level in terms of its intensity to happen to us. To get us to get away from that sinful desire. In other words, it'll put us in a situation where we're not going to want to even think about that sin anymore. So it is a method of purification, but Krishna just slaps our wrist in that purification process so that we wouldn't want to go back to that hole again. So that also happens to devotees. And of course, it's translated when you look at it, you know, outwardly or even emotionally, it seems that we're being taken through trouble. But actually, that is Krishna's purification method if we're still attached to sinful desires. Even the activity may have stopped, but the desires are still there. And if the desires are still there, we can fall back into the same activity, sinful activity again. And that's why Krishna helps us out of that. So they all come out like this, where non-devotees, they're going through the sinful reactions from previous life, bad karma, like that. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the questions.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or realizations? Dev Mataji shared some wonderful realizations from it too. Most of it from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Any other person wants to unmute themselves and share in the discussion? Okay, it is past the hour, and so thank you very much for today. And Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Self mind, go to the Prabhupada. Yes, you can share your mind with either senior devotees, or you go to a guru, either one that's initiated you or you're aspiring for, or other gurus, or Shiksha gurus, and ask. The main answer to the question is that never hesitate to ask questions, because it's the only way that things will be explained. And when they get explained, it becomes a little clearer. That Dev Mataji was asking, where did you get this information? I said, 11th canto, 7th chapter, you know, 30 something. And then you get to read that, and then there were so many things, because I actually went through the list of the 24 gurus, but never talked about how any one of them that Devadutta Brahmana learned from, because it's the whole class in itself. But it's there, and once you go there in 11:7, and you actually end up by 30, text 38, you'll just go on to the next chapter text. Next chapter, chapter 8, 11th canto, chapter 8, more is explained there in the first few verses there, or texts there. So yeah, we can never, or we should never stop inquiring. It's an inquiry that actually, and of course hearing, that actually will help us to improve in how we even associate with other non-human type bodies. And how we learn from them. And we also should know, but I will just throw one out, that when we chant the holy name of the Lord and chant out loud, it also benefits all entities around us, whether we can see those entities or not, because there's some that our eyes can't see, like bacteria. You know, our eyes are not designed to be able to see, but there's lots of them, germs, other very small living entities. They all benefit because that is giving Krishna to them. The mantra is Krishna, Radha Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, we should deliberately chant out so that, chant rather than chant silently, chant so that they also can benefit from it. So while you're learning from, you're also benefiting the living entities around you, whether you can see them or not. That's also another important point that came to mind that I wanted to share with devotees. Hare Krishna. You should keep inquiring and open up more. And even when you say you're learning from nature, what have you learned from nature? Even that, ask about it. So there can be a discussion as to what is it a good lesson or a lesson that maybe you should stay away from? Or the person that you talk to might even give you some more ideas about learning from that same personality that you learned from. You know, just opening up for discussion always. And Krishna would use it then. Lord in the heart would use that situation to get us to know more. I remember whenever I asked questions of my spiritual master, when I went to him to ask him, I was always coming out of his room with a huge smile on my face, because so many things have become clearer to me. Just by going, at that time we were living with them, you know, 1995 to 1997. So it was just one floor away from me. He could just walk to his room and knock on the door and allow me to come in, offer obeisance and ask whatever was on my mind. He was always kind enough, this is Bhakti Kira Swami, kind enough to stop whatever he was doing and then hear the question and then answer it, and the answer was always very beneficial. So you cannot put that down. Inquire, inquire, inquire some more. Hare Krishna. Any other? Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? All right, thank you, devotees. Please have a wonderful rest of your week in Krishna consciousness. Panchakalpaturubhyasya kripasunibhyah eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.